Creative Babble.
Hey everyone, it's me, Javier. I am obviously not in my typical recording space. I'm actually out in the field recording season 4 of Criminal Conduct with my friend and co-host, John Taylor. But we stopped, you know, our investigation of season 4 of Criminal Conduct to listen in on the arraignment of Tanya and Rick Fernandez, which happened Friday, February 10th. Now, I'm going to let you listen to part of this arraignment. And arraignments, you know, for those of you who are unfamiliar with the process, they get a bunch of people awaiting trial, and they have to plead guilty or not guilty. And if you watch the video, which I'll post some clips on social media, you'll notice that most of the people waiting for arraignment are dressed in orange because they're inmates until, you know, they get their trial. Tanya and Rick have not been incarcerated. They've been able to live at home, and they were actually able to dial in through Microsoft Teams meeting. So it's like basically they were Zooming into court. I'm not quite sure why they chose that route versus appearing in person, but that actually allowed us to watch the entire proceeding. So I was able to log in remotely and watch the proceeding happening in Phoenix, Maricopa County in Arizona. And I'm going to play you some of that. You know, I was really curious. I was like, will Tanya and Rick plead guilty or not guilty? And, you know, they pled guilty. They actually lawyered up.
Number 6 is State versus Ricky Fernandez, CR 2020-3006123-01. Counsel, your appearance, please.
Yes, good morning, Your Honor. Tim Hinsey on behalf of Attorney Robert Casey for Ricky Fernandez. We'll waive formal reading. He's been advised of his rights under a not guilty plea. And Mr. Casey is privately retained, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Fernandez, would you please state your name and your date of birth?
Yes. Ricky Lupe Fernandez, May 13th, 19th.
Thank you. The court has reviewed the indictment and the nature of the charges. The court has considered the fact the defendant has retained counsel. The alleged offenses occurred between July of 2017 and August of 2022. The court is inclined to release the defendant to the supervision of pretrial services. Do not access the internet through any electronic means. Counsel of the state, does the state wish to be heard?
No, Your Honor.
Counsel for the defendant.
Yes, Your Honor. Mr. Fernandez has no criminal history. He is an Arizona native, owns a home in Arizona. He's a caretaker for his adult children that have special needs, with no prior criminal history whatsoever. He doesn't have any failures to appear. He has retained private counsel. He's taking the matters very seriously. He has parents, extended family in Arizona. He's retired, but also a caregiver at this point for his children. He did 30 years with the U.S. Postal Service. We're asking that he be released on his own recognizance, given his lack of a criminal history. There's no allegation of danger to the community. These are not violent offenses that he is currently charged with. For those reasons, we're asking for OR release, Your Honor.
All right, counsel, is there any need for him to access the internet?
Your Honor, if I could have one moment.
All right.
Your Honor, he does have a business that he runs that he will need access to the internet for. In addition to that, scheduling for appointments and things like that for his special needs children, which a lot of that happens via computers, Your Honor. So we would ask that he does have computer access.
All right. And counsel, regarding that business, what's the nature of the business?
It is a photography business, Your Honor.
All right. Other release orders are that you not initiate contact with any arresting or investigating officers. Do not return to the scene of the alleged offense. Do not have any contact with any alleged witnesses to the offense. Do not have any contact with the alleged victim, either initiating contact or having any physical contact with the victim. Counsel, the defendant, is there any need for the defendant to have any contact with Tanya Fernandez?
Yes, Your Honor, that is his wife. They do live together. I would also ask, I'm not sure if as far as the scene of the alleged offense, I know that they do live in a home together. And so I would ask that they be allowed to return to their home, obviously. But yes, he will need contact with his wife. They both are caregivers for their children.
All right. I've removed the restriction on returning to the scene of the offense. Regarding contact with the co-defendant, I've ordered that you may have contact with the alleged co-defendant. We will not discuss the case or the facts of the case. Regarding access to the internet, I will allow access for purposes of your business, for any financial needs or appointments, and to contact counsel and the court. Do you have any questions regarding those restrictions?
No.
Anything in addition this morning?
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. For seven, State versus Tanya Fernandez, CR 2023-00-6123-002. Counsel to the defendant, your appearance, please.
Good morning, Your Honor. On behalf of Tanya Marie Fernandez, who is appearing with me via Teams, we waive a formal reading, Your Honor. We ask the court to enter not guilty pleas to all the charges, and I am privately retained.
Thank you. Ms. Fernandez, you. Would you please state your name and your date of birth?
Yes, it's Tanya Marie Fernandez, August 3rd, 1960.
Thank you. The defendant was issued a summons in this case, and it was served on the defendant on January 19th. The court finds that service is complete. The defendant has retained counsel.
For the same reasons outlined by Mr. Hinsey, we're asking the court for OR release and that Ms. Fernandez be allowed to access the internet for purposes of her caregiving duties and managing her finances.
All right. Counsel for the state, any objection to that request?
Objection, Your Honors. In reviewing the case, I would ask that she not access social media.
All right. Counsel, is there any need for the defendant to have access to social media accounts?
No, Your Honor.
All right. And the court will enter the following orders. The court does find that you are bailable as a matter of right. You will be released on your own recognizance, which is on your promise to appear for future hearings. Remember, if you fail to appear for any future hearings without a good reason, the court could issue a warrant for your arrest, and a bond will be set at that point. Other orders are that you not initiate contact with any arresting or investigating officers. Do not initiate contact with any alleged witnesses to the offense. Court order that you may have contact with the alleged co-defendant, but you will not discuss the case or the facts of the case with the co-defendant. Are prohibited from accessing the internet except for any caregiving needs, any financial needs or appointments or contact with counsel and the court. I will order that you have no access to social media. Anything in addition today?
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Fernandez, for calling in today.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends, so for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Bravo Bros.
Good job.
The big takeaway here is that the judge said that Tanya is not allowed to be on social media. The state wanted her not to be able to use a computer, but the judge allowed her to use a computer so that she can conduct you know, family care, doctor's appointments, pay the bills, you know, important stuff. Rick Fernandez was asked not to be online, but he got an exception because he has a photography business, which I don't know if you want to call it a photography business, but whatever. Funny enough, the day of the arraignment, Rick gets on Facebook and posts pictures online. I mean, anyway, but so that's interesting, right? But actually, this story gets crazier and crazier. Every time it reaches new levels of crazy that I never even anticipated. So that was the day of the arraignment, Friday. But let's back up the night before. The night before their arraignment, a user with the screen name of Dancing with the Stars Fan for Life 1 starts badgering and harassing my listeners on Instagram. My handle is at pretendpod if you want to watch the train wreck as it happens, still going on. She's responding and she's claiming to be Chelsea, who we're calling Chelsea, the patient of Dr. Gressman. And she is going toe-to-toe with my listeners. One of her first messages or responses, she said, "I'm the patient and she's going to win this stupid case. That should never have been taken to court if the law system wasn't so one-sided." Guys, this is the night before her parents are getting going to court to get to plead not guilty. That's crazy. For six felonies, by the way. So let me read you some more. A listener said, "Girl, your whole family should stay offline for a bit," which is good advice. And then the Chelsea, or this Dancing with the Stars account, says, "And you should mind your own business, ha ha ha." I've never been able to talk directly to Chelsea. I just made a lot of assumptions that, you know, she's intellectually disabled. She's kind of quiet. You know, she's probably a very sweet girl. But this person, whoever is sending these messages, is being ultra aggressive. And the language being used is very familiar. So it reminds me, and I've read thousands of these messages from the stalker, it reminds me of the way the stalker talks, the same anger, the same aggression, and it's not looking pretty. I mean, this whole time, you know, like in episode 12, I kind of was narrowing it down to the kids, but my money was, I mean, if I had to pick somebody, I thought, well, it sounds male, it must be James, but now I'm really reconsidering this whole thing. Let me read you some more messages. So another listener said, "I think some of Tanya's profiles entered the comments on here." So after dozens of harassing messages from this profile, I said, "Hey, message me if you want to talk. I'm available." And the Dancing with the Stars account says, "There's nothing to talk about other than your misinformation in your podcast." She then says, "I'm her daughter, you dumb tard. Shouldn't you stay off social media and be in school?" So I messaged Chelsea. I said, "I'm available to talk whenever you want." I said, "Hey, Chelsea, if you ever want to talk to someone who's been through what you've been through, I have a friend that's willing to talk to you." And she goes, "What exactly have I been through?" And I said, "So tell me, do you think you could live independently without a guardianship?" And she says, "I can't, and I wouldn't want to." And I say, "Why is that?" And she goes, "The world is wicked, and I wouldn't want to be and I wouldn't be able to thrive in it at all." And I said, "Have you ever thought about it?" And she says, "No, because I'm perfectly happy at home." "Do your parents know that you've been commenting on Instagram?" She says, "I'm 27 and I can make my own decisions when it comes to what I want to comment on. I don't appreciate you calling me a prisoner." And I said, "I was talking about the guardianship. You seem very smart, like someone who could thrive. Your mom made you sound very immature." She said, "How so? I can say for myself, I don't act like a 27-year-old. And I said, "How old do you act?" And she says, "Like a 12 to 13-year-old. "And how are your parents feeling?" "Feeling about what exactly?" she says. "Everything," I said. "I don't really want to discuss how they're feeling. All I'm going to say is that they feel betrayed." And I say, "How do you feel?" And she says, "Stressed for them." Then I said, Can you tell me about that boy that you met online? What boy? Well, let me interrupt here for a second and tell you about a boy that she met years ago and she snuck out of the house.
Back in, I think, February.
Yeah.
Where she had snuck out at night, I think it was.
That was last year. Yeah.
Was that last year?
Yeah, she did. She regretted it.
Oh, yeah, 2019, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But years are going by quick.
Yeah.
So, and that guy, Anthony Gray, or 28 or something like that, and I think our detective looked into it, and I think there was even a Dancing with the Stars connection to that profile.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'd have to double-check the report, but I think when our, because our police assistants do all our threats report when they're minor right. threats, and when she did a check to the Anthony Gray, 28, it linked back to hashtag Dancing with the Stars report, or I'm sorry, on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of a weird connection right there.
I don't know what's going on. I honestly, if I had the magic, you know, if I had all the answers, I would share. I just don't know what's going on.
I'll play you a clip of what Tanya told me when I asked her about this.
Oh, that was, oh my gosh, I don't even remember what year that happened, but I want to say it was probably 2017. I don't know. I don't remember. But anyway, all I know is that the kid met this guy who claimed to be a JW, and her being a young girl, you know, I think she might have been 18 or 19 at the time. I don't remember. He was showing interest in her. And so he conned her into meeting him at a park that's like five houses down from our old house. So she snuck out of the house in the middle of the night, like midnight, and went down there and then, you know, figured it out pretty quickly that he wanted more than he claimed. He just wanted to meet his friends. And then she gets down there and he wants to, you know, do more than that. And she's like, no, not doing that. And she said, I have to go home. And she took off running and went home. She's like, Mom, I think you need to know something. I met some dude at the park and it wasn't a safe thing. And I think you need to know about it. And I freaked out. I'm like, oh my God. So then I talked to, she was crying. She was like, it scared me. And, you know, I didn't realize that I was in danger. And I said, never, ever, ever, ever do that again. And she told me what his name was, which I don't remember. It's been forever ago. This predates all of this stuff. So I don't remember.
So now back to the direct message with Chelsea. She said, it happened a while back ago and we don't chat anymore. And I said, why did you leave? Because I wanted to. There was no reason why. So have you thought about leaving? No, I haven't. Then it got late and I stopped messaging with Chelsea. And that's when it got even stranger. And this part, hold on to your seats because I did not even see it coming. Apparently, there is a whole thread on Reddit about the stalker and this case, you know, that I'm working on. And people are trying to figure things out. And once I publicly released the names of Tanya and Rick Fernandez, the internet sleuths went to work, okay? And they found every single person in that family. They found Tanya's Facebook page. And all at once, I got messages from these people on Reddit saying that Tanya had posted something on Facebook. And so I went on Facebook and I checked to confirm, and this blew my mind. Tanya says, surprise, our newest addition, but it is a newborn baby. She's holding, or at least we think it's her, she's holding a brand new baby. And she ends the message, the post, by saying, call us crazy. Eek. And when you read the comments of her followers, which I'm assuming are her friends, her families, the people from her Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Hall, they're all surprised and confused. This baby came out of nowhere, okay? So Tanya's in her mid-50s. I doubt that she was pregnant this whole time and just happened to have a baby the night before her court appearance. So whose baby is this? If it were an adoption, well, the adoption process lasts a long time. And I've been talking to Tanya for years on a friendly level, and so has Heather. And neither one of us had any clue that she was undergoing the adoption process. Okay, so who is this baby that she announces to the world on social media the night before her arraignment? What's interesting about this is that I feel like it's a trap, because Tanya had like dozens and dozens of public posts, and then all of a sudden on Friday night, the night before the arraignment, she takes down all her public posts and only leaves up this post about the newborn baby. It's like she wanted us to see it. Now I have some theories. What if this newborn baby is her oldest daughter's? Maybe she was pregnant this whole time and she just happened to give birth, and the timing of this is just weird. I don't honestly know where this new baby came from, but it took this story to a whole new level of crazy. And I don't know if I've mentioned this before on the podcast, but I think it's worth repeating that one of the listeners pointed out and asked me, hey, Javier, how was the Fernandez family able to adopt their 9-year-old son with a sex offender living in the house? That's a very good question. So I went back to my timeline and I was able to figure out that their son, Will, was convicted of being a sex offender, and a level 2 sex offender, which is a pretty serious offense. And then a year later, that's when they adopted their youngest son. That is a very good question. How were they able to adopt a kid? How were they able to live across the street from a school? I don't know the answers to these questions, but how are they able to adopt a brand new baby this week with everything that's going on? Very bizarre. Anyway, I think I'll end it here, because it's been a wild, wild weekend. The story keeps getting stranger and stranger, and I keep trying to wrap it up, but I don't think it's going to happen. So stay tuned here on Patreon and Apple Podcasts, where I definitely give the latest and greatest information first. And follow me on social media, definitely on Instagram if you want to watch fireworks. My handle is @pretendpod. All right, take care. Creative Babble.